Tonight on the Infinite Labs podcast, John finds swing copters pointless. Dan P. plays paper, rock, scissors with a door. Dan H. hunts legendary wrestlers living in caves, and Kevin overcomes depression. We embrace the creepiness of Google Now, lose our lines of credit, kick the story out of RPGs, find medieval trigonometry lacking, despise an insistence on instances, understand moles are not people except for mole people, insert this 5-side 2, and
stay out of the basement.
All that and more on the Infinite Labs podcast.
What makes a man become neutral?
You know, I got something weird in the mail. So I was renewing my passport, and I filled out the application that, because you can get a passport card also, but I just filled it out for only a passport, and I paid only the money for the passport thing, and so I got my passport, and then yesterday I also got a passport card. That's weird. Like, I looked at like my bank account and like my application that I submitted because I saved it. And yeah, I only marked that so the government gave me extra stuff.
Yeah. They want to be able to track you specifically better.
Thanks, Obama.
Government swag.
Oh yeah, they all have like computer chips in them now. Like the passport card and the passport.
Sure.
To like make sure it matches up to the chip they put in your hand.
What?
Your phone.
What?
Because your phone knows you, Dan.
Oh, yeah. My phone totally knows me.
Your phone's scary.
Did I ever talk about this? How my phone, like... Oh, yeah. You have the same thing. So I
oh, yeah. Google Now.
Yeah. Since I come over here, like, almost every day because me and John go work out now, like one day at work, it was just like at about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like, it started giving me directions to address, and I was just like, why do you want me to go there, Google Now? And I looked at the map and I was like, oh, that's John and Dan's place. I was like, what? How do you know that I go there?
The first time I realized how much it knew me was near the end of work day. It's about 2:30. Game ready, wrap up, go home at 3, and my phone goes, bing, ding. I look at it and goes, there's heavy traffic on I-5 South. Might we recommend some other directions? And it's like, how do you know?
Oh, the messed up one was when me and John were like, oh, let's go like watch a movie or something, and we were just texting each other, and then I was just like, yeah, we'll go to the Landing movie theater. It's like, yeah, you know, whatever o'clock. And then I looked at Google Now, and it started giving me, like, movie times for the landing and directions to the landing.
Yeah.
It read my text messages.
Mm-hmm. It also reads your emails.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like, there's one thing I've emailed with Bree about before. I forget what it is. Some TV show. I emailed to Bree about it. Now, every time any news on that TV show is out, Google Now will say, hey, because you've been talking about this. And it's like, I haven't talked about it. I emailed to my wife. Don't read the emails to my wife.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I don't know. It's freaky. And now it also gives me address driving directions to the LA Fitness that we go to. And then I can rename, like, what the address is. So now, at, like, in the afternoon, it was like, here's some directions to John's place.
As long as he doesn't start picking women for you on dating sites.
Hey, we noticed from the porn you've been looking at, here's a woman who meets
you
that
apparently
profile.
Apparently like Asian girls. Might we suggest this website for dating?
I'm an equal opportunity porn watcher.
Because you've looked at porn before, here are other porn sites we could recommend to you.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
I like this trend.
So, I like my Google phone so far. It's actually, like, yeah, it's like a month and a half in or so. I like it.
What's fun?
My Samsung.
The first day of the month.
Plus, it lets you play a WWE Supercard.
Shut up.
The first day of the month, it'll tell you how much you've walked in the last mile or last month.
Oh, and it also gives me, it's been giving me reminders for like, hey, your cell phone bill's due tomorrow.
This is a bigger commercial than that movie with Owen Wilson.
What, the internship?
Yeah.
So I love my Samsung
Galaxy S5.
Good for you.
I bought it at AT&T. Mm-hmm.
You know those things you guys are talking about where it does stuff to you? Mine don't do none of that shit. I have to look up my own movie times. But you know what? I feel okay with that.
Whatever. You're in the past.
It did when, because I was out yesterday, last week.
Sorry, I wanted to get the non-personal invasion model of cell phone.
The non-stalker phone.
Oh, I'm totally in. Whatever. I bow down to our.
I welcome our new Insecto.
Yeah, I'm totally fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just insert chips in me. That's fine. We're just going to, you know.
Make me more machine than man.
Make me more machine than man. I want, like, some kind of hand cannon. That would be great.
Yeah.
Rocket boots.
That costs a lot. Do you want Alpha Wear or Delta Wear?
Which one's the better one?
Delta? Delta Wear. But, you know, when I met you, Dan, I did think, out of all the people I've met, you were the one I'd most want to see as a Deathlok.
Yes. That would be pretty sweet. Yeah, when I was coming back from Oregon last week, it gave me, like, alternate directions because there was so much traffic and stuff, and ended up being about the same.
Yeah.
Out of randomness, I kept going Fred Meyers on the way home. It just happened. It's every Friday, and it's because I kept needing gas, and I had gas points for them.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, my driving patterns changed a little. I didn't need gas on Friday. Looked at my phone, and it's telling me, hey, you want to go Fred Meyers?
I was kind of half expecting it when I went to Oregon, or when I was in Vegas like a couple weeks ago, just the phone just going, what the fuck are you doing? Where are you?
You're supposed to
Are you actually Dan?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be in Renton right now.
Dan's phone stolen.
Yeah, it just locks itself down. I'm stolen.
Oh, kind of like when you use a debit card. Like my dad, my dad used a credit card in Edmonton for like a week because he was on vacation and his bank just shut it down without calling him or anything. And his hotel room was like, yeah, I'm sorry, your card's been declined. He's like, what? What do I even do now? He called the bank and just gave him holy hell.
That nearly happened to Dan when we went to California.
No, they did shut it down.
They did, but they returned.
Yeah,
reactivated.
So when we were going to California Extreme last year, and I was buying gas all the way down, and then finally when we got into like
California,
like 100 miles away from Sacramento, like I tried to buy gas, and they're just like, your card's declined. And I was just like, what? And then there's that whole like embarrassed like, ha ha, I totally have money in there. Right? And then like I paid with another card, and then they all looked at me suspicious. But and then I called the bank, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, we put a thing on your card because you know, we thought
it's
suspicious." And I'm just like,
"I am here.
I'm just buying gas."
You know what's funny though? One time I was in Manila and I actually pulled money out of an ATM with the same card. And, like, no, nothing.
No.
Nobody, they didn't care. I pulled, like, a bunch of money out, and they didn't care.
Well, because you have to enter the PIN there. Not necessarily when you're buying.
Here's the best one. Bree got her card shut down recently without even leaving the state. She didn't even leave her house. She was buying an airplane ticket. Since she's going to South Korea, and then to Tokyo, and then back home, she had to buy the connecting flight through a South Korean travel company.
Like a domestic, yeah.
And, yeah, they shut down her card.
One time mine got shut down because a gas station that I used my card at was robbed. So they were just like, oh, we're going to shut down everybody who used their card at the station in the last, like, week. But they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And then, like I was going to, like, a Sounders game. And I was trying to buy tickets to the train station or something. And I was just like, why is this not working? And then when I got home, I called up the bank. They're just like, oh, yeah, we shut it down because somebody got... I was just like...
You guys, and you don't tell me?
Thanks. Yeah. I have the app on my phone. You should, like, text me.
The store got robbed when I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember I used to play LSword all the time?
Yep.
Every time I bought points on LSword, my card got shut down because it was... I don't know why, but the card was offended that I would buy points from this Korean software developer.
How dare you?
It was really bizarre. I was like, yeah, we've noticed suspicious activity. And I was like, yeah, the suspicious activity is I wanted to get a cool new skin for my guy. Thanks a lot.
That's why I do try to use PayPal whenever I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like when I bought like Project Zomboid or something, you had to buy like at a UK site. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, also, like I think when I bought the XCOM pack for you for Christmas one year. that went through a UK site, and I got charged an international fee by fucking bank. Lame. I was like, you're fucking kidding me. This you charge me US dollars.
Yeah, when I pulled money in the Philippines, they charged me some bank fee, and I was
bullshit.
Just like, man. Although what's funny is that the bank fee when I pulled money in Vancouver was more than, like, in the Philippines for whatever reason. Because
that was in Canadian dollars, dude.
Well, that's dumb, but it's fucking Canada. Just let us.
That's
just
the 51st state.
I know. We go there all the time.
America's hat.
You can't even use your cell phone there. It's so dumb. It's just
international roaming.
Yeah, there's some fucking, like, Ruse Cellular or something. It's like their biggest provider. Some fucking bullshit thing. Not that our cell phones are providers or that
kind. No, they're not.
I'm going to be thinking America's hat the rest of the day.
Hey, we're all here for the podcast, everybody.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's reunited.
Episode 99.
Feels so good.
Clash of the Titans.
Okay.
Except we're not actually clashing. We're just kind
of
hanging around.
Clash of Champions.
Wisecracking.
Download it on the App Store now and kill yourself.
I would, except I'm busy with WWE Supercard.
Okay.
What app? What are we talking about?
Clash of Clans? What?
Clash of Clans. You know.
No, we don't play Clash
no,
of Clans.
No.
We don't talk about Clash of Clans here.
We're better than that shit.
Well.
We have Marvel Puzzle Quest, and we have Supercard.
Kevin and I were getting kind of lonely here because you guys just couldn't be bothered to join us.
It's summer. What do you want?
Real life.
I was doing
stuff.
Family stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's summer.
I was doing family stuff too, hanging out with my bro John.
See?
Yeah,
nice.
They make time.
I know you're trying to like joke about how we had other things to do, but I feel like joking about how you had nothing to do.
Hey, I go home to my wife after podcast.
Boring.
I sleep in a race car.
Yeah. I sleep in a bed with my wife.
I sleep in a bed with my wife.
So you're sleeping
John,
in a race
not
car?
Much. Stuff's happening.
We've been enjoying that every Simpsons episode, everything.
Oh, gosh.
Whenever
yeah,
we have
that.
Nothing else to watch.
I wanted to watch that upstairs, but I don't think the numbers go high enough for the and that on the TV.
Oh, no.
Right?
What channel?
It's like 4 6, something.
18 is
well, 618?
Yeah, and the SD
FXX
is like 4,
HD.
400 something. Because I looked it up and I was just like, aw. Because I think it only goes up to 100 something, right?
No, no, that box, the one thing though is since it's one of those little DTA boxes, it won't take every channel, but it does go to every channel. So some of them, you'll type in the number and it'll just go, nah, not doing that.
So we should try it.
Because I'm Comcast.
We should try it then.
Oh, those DTA boxes are worthless.
Yep. Everything Comcast.
You should get a real box like a man.
So, Dan.
Did you do the intro?
I have a manly box in my bedroom.
No, this is the Infinite Lives podcast, though.
I have
we are
in
at
my
episode
bedroom.
99.
Manly episode box. 99.
Yep. It's part of our 99 plan.
999. Nine, nine.
No, just 99.
We're going
two
up.
Nines. We're not going to get sued by Herman Cain.
I don't think he's a real person. So.
He's a real person.
I believe he was lovingly constructed by Imagineers in an animatronic robotic lab.
By the amazing Imagineers of Disney, bringing you Herman Cain.
So, yeah.
Well, I think... Well, I was going to say something really
Pirates
racist.
Since it's been a few
Caribbean.
Weeks since...
I think liberals smell funny. That was Herman Cain.
Since both of you have been off the podcast, why don't you catch us up on what you've been playing, Dan?
Well, we just started off with WWE.
Yeah, now it's the revenge of Marvel Puzzle Quest.
I'm gonna
Dan gets
now.
His turn.
So after John first mentioned it last week on podcast,
which I find amusing.
I went home, downloaded it on Sunday morning, took a shower. I was getting ready to go out to a store or something like that. Decided to load it up. An hour later, Bree was looking for me, wondering what happened.
Did you die? I was hoping
she's
you
like,
died.
Oh, I thought you left, but then the car was here.
Just watch it again. This is what happens.
This is cool. John's loading
it. Oh, look
it.
At that. Look at that. That's great.
It looks like your desktop.
Well, you're having as much enjoyment as I am with that game. So.
That's how you play it, John. You just poke the screen.
That's fine. I do that in Marvel Puzzle Quest,
there's
too.
No strategy anyway.
I want to see the cards fight each other.
No, you don't.
It's stupid.
No, I still enjoy it.
But
I'm easy to please.
I downloaded it on last Thursday, and then I was playing it while I was in Oregon and at every stop that I was at and stuff like that.
Fuck 2K support.
That poor bastard. Someone has to play with an ultra-rare Jack Swagger. Why not just kill yourself?
Take what you can get, man. Some people aren't as fortunate as you, Dan, to get a super rare Macho Man.
No, I got an epic Macho Man.
Epic Macho Man.
Macho
Whatever.
Madness. I don't know what to say about the game, really. There's nothing really to say about the game.
There's no strategy.
If you like WWE and mindlessly grinding and hoping for rare cards, then play.
And a tournament that happens every hour for 2 days, even while you're sleeping. And you have to micromanage it.
It's true. You do.
I woke up. When I first signed off onto the King of Ring, I thought it would be like maybe a couple hours.
Oh, it doesn't even tell you.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it
goes
forever.
It's like, here's the schedule forever. Of matches. And I'm just like, there's like 45, what?
And so much of the King of the Ring is micromanaging.
Yeah.
The first time I actually gave a shit, I was like, I'll be on this every couple hours. I'll switch my guys out, use energy. This last time, I was like, fuck it. I just threw my guys in King of the Ring and lost. And after like a day and a half, I got a rare card. I was like, good. And all I'm doing now is just entering my guys and not caring.
Sounds like the lightning round tournaments for Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Oh, so I was telling you guys beforehand, what I did was at one point I stocked up on how many card draws I could get, because you win a tournament or you win a exhibition, you get two draws, you lose, you get one. I kept skipping because I was in King of the Ring. So I built up 100 card draws so that I could restock my energy. You go and carry the five energies, so I'd refill everyone. Then I would go into the card drawing. And I'd draw until I get five energy. I'd wait a couple hours,
then
pump up the energy
plan.
Again.
Okay, fine, there's some strategy. Because usually what would happen in between the King of the Ring things, I'd be like, oh crap, I gotta play this like a bunch of times until I get energy stuff. And then pretty soon I realized I was just playing it like the whole time.
Yep.
Like in between the King of the Ring matches and during the King of the Ring matches. And I was just like, this is crazy time.
See, I stocked up and that way I could just go, okay, I need some energy. I don't have to actually play.
Pro tip, kids. If you have two identical cards, you can combine them and make a pro version. But don't do that until after you've leveled both of them up.
I did not know that until too late.
I didn't either. That's why I ended up selling. I just used almost all of my badly trained pro fighters to level up Dolph Ziggler.
I didn't even know that was how it worked until I had an AJ Lee pro.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Versus someone else's AJ Lee pro.
How are they so much better than me?
Who was lower level. Yeah. Was only like, mine was level 25, maxed out. Theirs was level 10. I was like, fuck, I got this. Boom, I died.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the bullshit?
What the bullshit?
What the butthole?
Yeah, you have to level them all the way first.
You don't have to, but you're shooting yourself in the dick if you don't.
Yeah.
Like I said last night, it's like Fire Emblem. You have to get your characters to max level before you promote them.
Oh, yeah, before you change their their occupation.
Max their stats.
Before you decide, you want to become a postal employee.
It's always embarrassing when my rare Macho Man gets beaten by a super rare pro Alberto Del Rio.
It's not even with the company.
It does not make me feel good about myself.
There is so much Alberto Del Rio.
He's Mexico's greatest export. I seem to find
a bunch of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon and...
there's a lot of Andre out there.
Well,
I see a lot of Diesel.
The super rare Mr. McMahon is the most common super rare.
I only have one.
I had two. I trained them to pro rare. Too fast, and then I got rid of them.
His name is Sheamus.
So much Sheamus in that game.
Well, if you look at my usual exhibition thing, I only have one super rare, and the rest, I have two ultra rare and an epic. So,
AJ Lee.
None of them are pro. Yeah, yeah. That AJ Lee, I trained badly, so I have to get a new one.
Yeah, I trained badly, but she was my first pro, which meant like I was winning every event when it came to the D.Va.
I'm surprised that there's no Trish Stratus or.
Or Chris Benoit.
That's not as big a surprise. But you'd be surprised. I've seen some rare stuff. I mean, like, really rare. Like, only once have I fought Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh, I haven't.
I fought an epic Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, I did too. She fucked me up.
I like the idea that there's an epic Stephanie McMahon, like where she's just in a cave somewhere. And you have to get a raid party to go fight her.
That's the legendary.
I've gotten one fight with a guy with a legendary, and he cleaned my fucking clock, and it was Bruno Sammartino. I'm not even kidding.
That's kind of cool that, like, the higher up you go that there's, like,
shit, man.
Dudes.
He beat the shit out of Macho Man. It wasn't even a contest. The guy had a fully trained Bruno Sammartino and, like, no other cards. And even though I won the card, you know, the overall, he beat the shit out of the Macho Man. It was embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Macho Madness rose to the bottom.
Ooh, maybe.
Demolition better than fucking Legion of Doom. It's crazy talk.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about this.
So how you guys are enjoying WWE Supercard?
Very much.
No.
Brandis is done.
I'm done for now. I mean, I don't know. At some point, maybe I'll pick it up. But
it's wonderfully mindless. If you're just like waiting for something to happen.
Yeah,
it's great. Because you don't feel bad about stopping at any point.
I was having my car serviced on Friday, and like I did that for like an hour and a half. Just
clicky click.
Completely mindless, clicky, yeah. Click.
Well, a three match card takes you about a minute.
Yeah.
And if you stop in the middle of it, unless for some reason you really want to win that particular match, nothing matters.
The special moves just trigger sometimes, right? Okay. Because I was just going crazy. Like, I was just like, just use it. It would win so much right now. Fuck.
Especially when you have the epic characters, their special moves boost two attributes.
Well, some of the super rares do that.
Yeah, my Sheamus does power and charisma.
Not like Macho Man's 25 to speed and charisma.
All of mine are 11s.
Macho Madness.
Anybody play Swing Copters?
What?
I just heard about that.
What's Swing Copters?
The new game by the Flappy Bird guy.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be so hard that people go, well, I got 1 point.
I didn't even get one. I played that game for about 5 minutes and went, fuck this.
Did you ever play Flappy Bird?
Nope.
I never played Flappy Bird. Flappity Flappy.
That game is hot bullshit.
All right. Did we say everything we wanted to say about Supercard? Because that's about it. I mean, there's...
I guess I could brag about what happened with me, which is kind of funny.
What happened with you?
So, whenever I play a game and I'm enjoying it, I always throw a little money at it just because devs don't work for free.
Oh, yeah.
So, I spent just enough to get, like, a couple hundred points. I mean, it was, like,
a couple bucks.
And I bought a superstar draw, which it could have been just, like, a super rare or...
You think
rare.
It's all the way...
It's rare to epic.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, I drew an epic Macho Man like right away, and it catapulted me into this high league, and suddenly I couldn't win any fights except when I used Macho Man. But what's cool is when you go into the higher league, you draw better cards.
Yeah.
So I was suddenly getting super rares left and right. So, yeah. I highly recommend if you can get real lucky and get an epic card, go right ahead.
I put $2 and I did not get an epic.
Yeah.
I got Sheamus...
I guess if you wanted to, you could put in $25 and get a ultra rare or higher for what?
No, I'm not gonna put $25 in this.
Okay.
Epic. Put in a couple bucks.
Okay.
He made his he sacrificed his blood to the blood god.
To the blood god.
Probably my favorite part in the game is just actually the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really like.
And watching the cards wrestle. It's so stupid.
I was happy when I got a card with Paul Heyman on it.
I hate that I can recognize the moves that they're doing. There's like a freaking running face buster that they do.
Yeah, I just did that.
I just like when the...
Or double clothesline when you're in the tag team.
I'm not going to be happy till they put the rolling DDT in here.
I like when the other team beat you, they have different moves than when you beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
I love watching Andre the Giant throw Vince McMahon onto me and I fall down.
I always, I'm always just skipping as fast as I can. And then there's, you know, whenever you go to the turnbuckle and then you're just like, oh, is he going to make it? No, he stepped out of the way. Fuck you, AJ. Always AJ.
Did you play anything else this week, Dan?
Yeah, I played...
2 weeks, I should say.
I played Warhammer 40K Space Marine last Sunday for a couple hours. That's okay.
Yeah, it's
okay. I forgot how old... I mean, that game's... Well, I mean, not old, but it's...
It's like five years or a couple...
2011.
Four years. So, yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that it was that far back. It's okay. I like the Space Marine mythos, the Astartes or whatever they're called. I like that, and I like how people react to them and stuff, but, like, the game's kind of like, it's okay.
This the game you played at Extra Life last year and got stuck in a
Oh, yeah, a and I got vehicle. Stuck in that vehicle. Yeah, I got past that part. Yeah, there's some okay stuff in that, and that's just mindless. It's more just fun because you're a space marine and stuff. There's a bunch of weird things at one point because you're the ultramarines, and then so you get, they sometimes get jetpacks and stuff. And then, so there's this one part where you find one and then you equip it, and then, it's pretty cool because you can press a button and you like fly around and you'll do like this dive bomb thing. So it's really fun. It's kind of, I mean, that game's kind of like in the whole, what is it? Like Devil May Cry, King, God of War kind of thing where there's no real like strategy to it. It's just kind of, you're trying to string together a bunch of stuff and fight in the middle of everybody. And that can be fun.
Is there quick time button
prompts? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's weird because, like, at some point, I was rocking with this jetpack, and then eventually, like, I was walking through like a corridor, and then he just my guy just goes, "Well, this is of no use anymore," and then he takes it off. I was just like, "Why don't we just keep this?" And then literally the next room is a big open room in a canyon again, and I was like, "I could use that."
You don't need that.
I could use that right now.
But then it ruins the platforming level design in that room.
Yeah, I guess. It's just weird. They should have just made it get broken or something. I'm not a game designer.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I am not a
game designer. Time to load up RPG Maker and change that.
You'd be surprised what it takes to qualify you as a game designer. You know what it actually takes? I've learned through the industry of game design. Design a couple games.
Yeah.
And then if one of them sells well or is reviewed well or both,
you're a game designer. I want to be an indie game designer.
Although I will warn you, the saddest thing in the world is the guy, and I'm not kidding, this guy is the object of scorn everywhere, is the guy who enjoyed some success as a game designer once and then is frantically clawing and pushing that one success at everybody for years.
I would. If I had one big success...
Yeah, it's sad to watch, actually.
Mm. I wish I had one big success in my lifetime. That would be pretty cool. I would be happy with that.
I think it's different for game design just because games become outmoded so quickly, except for like the rare classic.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, you designed an awesome game in 1995. Good job. Whereas like a novel is more timeless, you know?
I suppose.
I mean, like, J.D. Salinger could still get laid if he were alive. He was like, yeah, Holden Caulfield, yeah, that's me. And then
everybody's a phony.
Yeah, pretty much.
Suck my knob.
That's pretty much how it goes, I think.
You're a phony.
But if somebody goes, hey, Teenage Mutant Ninja Tournament Fighters, I did that. It's just like, who gives a shit? That game sucks.
Oh, there's people who give a shit. They just not necessarily want to congratulate the guy, more want
to... I designed Star Tropics. Cool, what have you done since then? I tried to make like a Star Tropic Ultra, but NES didn't want it.
Well, it's a little different, too, because games are more of a collaborative.
Yes, that too. But,
what was I saying?
Games you've played, aside from Space Marine.
Space Marine, Space Marine.
1 point.
Kevin succeeded.
I got a point on Swing Copter.
Yeah, you can turn it off. You are the best Swing Copter player ever, out of anyone.
Exit
here.
App. Yes, I win.
Delete.
I linked it to my Google profile and got. That score is up on my Google profile.
Am I right about how much hot bullshit that game feels like?
You just keep tapping the helicopter.
And if you don't tap him, he's going up in one direction. You tap, he goes to the other.
And he just swings like so yeah. quick. There's like no time.
If you want to go swing copter.
If you want to go straight up, you just got to start mashing like you're playing Supercard.
That was pretty good, dude.
Like a swing copter.
Oh, right. Like a swing copter. And then John just gives you his withering look.
I'm done.
I've been highly successful in Dota recently.
All right.
Yeah.
Dan's back on the Dota. He's on the high swing.
I'm on the high swing right now.
He's in the
high
peak.
Swing copter.
We're having pretty good.
Good run.
A pretty good team comp.
Yeah.
Team composition. Yeah.
Are you doing tactics? Is there strategy involved now?
Well, it's more just like the picking of stuff.
Okay.
But but there's nothing really to say about that. I've been playing recently. Every couple of days or so, I've had a Divinity game with
David.
So I don't know if we're getting far in the game or what, because
probably
like,
not.
Because it's co-op, so I don't pay attention to the story at all. Like, we're just skipping around because it's just like, it's not too much fun to mm-hmm. read it when somebody else is there, because then it's just like,
hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay, go to the next page.
And we only have so little time to play, like, a couple hours or something, so I'm just like, you know. And
let's get through some combats. I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go steal shit from a house.
So there literally was one part where we were walking around, and then I was just like, oh, that looks like an abandoned or, like, some kind of creepy-ass cathedral. We should go there.
You
so we
just went, described me and John's entire Diablo 3 experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we were going over there, and like we just started fighting like these, you know, big like undead stuff and a lot of bosses and things like that, and then we got through and I guess we progressed the story again, but we didn't even know. We basically stumbled upon it. Like we didn't know we were supposed to be there or something. But the last four levels, I think we're both level 9 right now. And I think the cap is 20, so I guess we're like halfway through the game or so. But the game has definitely clicked. Like, it's funny that I have definitely a much higher opinion of the game than I had maybe 2-3 weeks ago. Because the combat and, like, leveling up a few times has just finally, and we got good gear and everything like that, has finally clicked. And I don't do, it's, my biggest, like, control problem with that game is that, especially since I'm a thief or a rogue and I have a backstab ability. And, well, there's no real, like, class in the game. Like, there's...
Well, it sounds like you and David both are thieves. I mean, in the sense of
robbing
everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't do that anymore because there's nothing really left to rob. And since we're, like, in higher places, like, we have so much loot to sell. So it's still funny when, like, you go to a merchant and it's like, oh, you still have all that stuff I stole and sold back to you and you still have it. But... hey, we were starting adventures. We needed a boost.
Operating capital.
Yeah, we stole everybody's paintings, and now the one painting vendor in the town has everybody's paintings in the town. It's great.
You helped the world in that
world.
Way.
Yeah.
Now they know where the art is.
Yeah, this belongs in a museum. What was I saying? Oh yeah, about the the thing that I don't like is that. So when you have to like position yourself behind somebody, and then the sword icon for fighting like turns into like a backstab kind of thing, and it's weird because like the enemies will still be animated, you know, even though like everything's paused for the round, so they're still like, you know, moving around and stuff like that, and like it's so precise. There's like no aura around the guy. If it's like one pixel off. Like, if he moves just slightly and then you press it right at that time, like, you're just going to move behind him because the icon isn't up. And that happens, like, a lot. And then with the battles in Divinity are so, like, hard where just one mistake just kind of makes everything just snowball into craziness. And that game's also annoying because it's basically if your stuns and your knockdowns don't go off, like if you don't succeed with those things and like control people and they do it to you, like it's just it's over. Like there's literally been fights where me and David have not been able to act. Like, and these are like enemies that are two levels below us or same level or something like that. It will start and then they'll just be like, you're knocked down, you're stunned, and then now you're frozen, and then now you're knocked down again, and then you're frozen, and then now you're dead.
Now a man is peeing on you.
now
a homeless guy is stealing your loot.
Yeah. But that also makes it more satisfying when you do beat them, because it feels like you're kind of cheating, because you're kind of like doing all these crazy, like, you're trying to use the environment and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun, but it's also weirdly, like, it also feels like almost too random sometimes. But I like that game. there's been some really good moments. The other thing that, because there's so much environmental, like, focus on environmental stuff. So, like, if there's the ground is burning, or if there's water on the ground and then you throw electricity on the ground, then it just, like, electrifies everything, like, that's touching the water and stuff like that. If there's, like, fire and then you throw poison on the fire, there's, like, a big explosion and stuff. There's, like, a lot of, like, that environmental stuff. But it's not like XCOM where, you know, there's a grid on the ground, so you don't know exactly, like, is this particular point right here on fire? Like, obviously, this stuff in the middle of the fire is on fire, but, like, right on the edge, I can't tell. So sometimes you're walking, and then you're just like, oh, now I'm on fire.
You know why, Dan? Because they didn't have math or calculus back then. No computers.
No grid.
Yeah. No
off tactical, the grid.
No tactical satellites, so you can't, like, precisely measure that sort of stuff.
There's a grid in Fire Emblem.
Didn't say, we're not talking about Fire Emblem, we're talking about Divinity. Divinity plays with by its own rules.
Yeah.
Your character wouldn't know that exact position.
It's just, I just wish that it would just tell us. Like, there was, like, a boundary or something. It's just like, can I walk here? And then, because sometimes your guy will avoid stuff if you do, like, a long click and then it moves. But then sometimes he's just like, I'm just gonna walk right through this. I don't give a fuck.
So it's a little better than the Baldur's Gate AI, but not much.
Well, you know what? I don't know about, like, too much of the AI, because we're, like, really, like, controlling we're only controlling two people.
That's right.
And we have the lone wolf trait, so we can't get any companions and stuff. But, yeah, that game's kind of funny. But, like, it's very cool, because you can multi-class very, very easily. Like, because David's, like, he's, like, a cleric fighter with some magic stuff, and then now he recently got a thing to go invisible. He has a cool thing called, a teleport. So he can't teleport himself, but he can teleport other things. So he teleports, like, enemies around and puts them into fire or lava or something like that. So that's pretty funny. So yeah, Divinity is actually kind of cool. I would definitely recommend. I kind of want to play it single player and just have, like, a full party and see how that goes and actually pay attention to what's going on.
You know what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we were in space,
Sure.
And then they're just like, "Hey, which god do you want to awaken? Earth, wind, fire, or water?" And I was just like, "What?" And then we got the fire guy, and then he was just like, "Hey, how's it going? Like, here's all this stuff."
Wow, and
just
Earth, like, and wind must have been disappointed in you.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they're like, "You gotta get more of these stones so you can unlock all these portals." And I was just like, "Why are we doing this?"
Because it's Divinity.
And then at one point, our characters were like, "I feel like we've been here before." And I was like, "Is this a story? Are they just messing around?" Well, there's this funny thing where, because you're basically, those two guys can roleplay, like, on their own, and like, if there's a very, like, key decision, like, you know, like, kill this dude or help these people or something, and your two characters are at odds, there's, like, this rock paper scissors mechanic that tries to, like, determine, like, whose choice actually gets to go through. So that's pretty funny. And then one time David was doing that with an NPC, and it was a door. The door wasn't letting us into the cathedral, so he played rock paper scissors until it let us in.
What?
Yeah, it's a fun game, because it's really like an old PC game where it's, you know, kind of silly but serious at the same time, I guess. And then I was in the Arc Age closed beta, which I am again this weekend, so I'm gonna play that more this weekend. So Arc Age is pretty cool. Arc Age is a Korean MMO,
yeah,
that I've been obsessing about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arcade is pretty awesome. It's probably, like, I played it for, like, a good 3-4 hours on Friday before I had to go to, no, Thursday before I had to go to Oregon. And, it's probably, like, one of the better MMOs that I played in quite a while. And it has a lot of the, it has a lot of the ideas that I've always felt that, like, would advance MMOs further, and it has them, like, built in already. And what's cool is that, like, they have a lot of promises of what's going to happen, but unlike some MMOs, like, this game is actually out in Korea already. Like, it's been out for, like, a year and a half or something. So all of these things that are, like, cool features and stuff are already in the game. They're not, like, you have to wait for them, like, a year from now or something. Like, I mean, Old Republic only got housing this year or something. That game came out in 2011.
So are they parceling out the features, or are they doing all of them right at launch?
No, they're doing it all of them right at launch.
That's cool. In Elsword, they had a ton of new shit. Like, they had classes and all kinds of stuff, but the Korean stuff all came out. Was already out for like a year and a half, but and then they were parceling it out month by month to get people to keep
to be an incentive.
Yeah,
yeah. What they're doing mostly right now is translating a lot of stuff. So some vendors are still speaking to you in Korean.
But I don't know what you want.
Yeah,
localization is generally one of the last things that happens during software development.
And then like and then some of it is like completely in English, so it's just kind of funny. But, yeah, so, like, some of the stuff that they do that's really awesome is that there's player housing to start, but the housing is non-instance. The entire game is non-instance other than dungeons. Like, you know, certain particular dungeons are instance. But you could theoretically walk from one end of a continent, there's three continents, to the other end, get on a boat, sail all the way over there, and then walk, and then get to another continent and walk to the other end and never have a loading screen. And only like if you quick travel or if you go into a dungeon, then there's actual there's an instance. Not even like going into castles and stuff like that. We've never had an instance so far, and I got up to like level 17 or something like that. So that's pretty awesome. That's something that like I was disappointed with WildStar about. And that kind of, you know, it breaks the immersion. Like, that was always one of my complaints with Old Republic, that there was just so much, like, I'm loading, and then I go to one end of a hall, and then I load again. That fucking, the space station was, like, the worst. When you'd get into one hallway, and you'd literally just walk down the hallway, and then you'd get into another loading screen. Like, it was just...
That sounds great. So great.
All good things.
Yeah, all good things. So this it's pretty cool. So it's just like one long thing. You get a mount very early, and you can attack from the mount, which I don't know what games right now let you do that. Like, I don't think that's a World of Warcraft thing.
Dynasty Warriors.
Mountain Blade.
Well, I'm talking about an MMO. Like, what, I mean, no,
you can the Dynasty Warriors MMO.
There's a Dynasty Warriors MMO?
Oh yeah. It's been out for years. It's a piece of shit. Oh. It's based off the old Dynasty Warriors, I think it's 6 engine. Oh. And it's not good. It's very disappointing.
But yeah, so like
believe me, if it was good, don't you think I'd be doing that right now?
I know. That's why it was surprising. I was just like, what are you doing? And then I just figured you would go like, what am I doing? I have to go.
But believe me, I'd be playing that King of Fighters mobile right now if I could understand any of it.
Fucking. I really want to see that I want to watch a YouTube video of that.
I was able to sign up for it. That's as far as Google Translate would take me.
I like that.
I can't figure out how to download the client. I can't do anything because their postal system is completely different than ours.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, I signed up. I verify my email address. It wants to know my mailing address. What the fuck? And that's as far as I've gotten.
That's so weird that that's only in Thai. Like... You'd think that it would be, like, at least, like, in Japanese or Chinese or Mandarin or something like that. But it's just Thai. I mean, I know they play a lot of games there. That's, like, a huge...
I think it's still in beta, so maybe they just... I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, so, like, even, like, the player housing, like, you have to get, like, materials to build it, and your friends can help you build it and stuff like
that. You could build it wherever you want?
You can build it wherever you want.
So your friends can help you build it, and then you get the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
Well, it's like when you get a house in the real world.
It's like when you make a boat and then you go away from
an island. It's great. Hey, look, I did half the work. Guess what? I get none of the reward.
Yeah. Hey, John, get in the boat.
I can't get in the boat.
I'm pretty sure that
Dan, there's... I can't get in the boat.
Goodbye.
45 minutes later, hey, Dan, I made it to the land, you son of a bitch.
If this game sucks, John, we should just quit.
Did I ever tell you guys about the huge con Eric Welch ran at me on Ultima Online?
With the wood, right, or something?
That's exactly right. Okay, so... I
remember, like, the boat, right? The boat? Was it right. Another boat?
He was like, you should start playing Ultima Online with me. I was like, I don't really want to. And he was like, no, it's really good. You can do all this stuff. And I was like... why are you chopping down trees? Like, for wood, you can make stuff. And I was like, can you build a boat? He's like, yeah, you can build a boat. And I was like, yes! So I made a guy named Captain Blackheart, and I gave him a three-corner hat, and I ran out there and chopped down wood and made cabinets.
chopped down wood
and made cabinets. I was like, it's all going to be worth it when I make my boat. And about 2 weeks into it, I was like, you can't make a boat. I was really upset.
But you can strip yourself buck naked, ride a black horse, and grief
everybody. I'm pretty sure that there's probably some limits of where you exactly you can put the house. Like, you can't just put it in the middle of, like a town. Thank you. But I don't know. Like, I mean, we were just walking around in the countryside, and then those just, like, half-built houses, like, in some places.
Can you build your house in front of the entrance to a dungeon no one can get in?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty... That's what I mean, that there's probably, like, some limitation, I would guess, just for logic's sake.
I'm going to block the entrance to the castle using my house.
But it's also a very, like... It's a very expensive proposition and time-consuming thing, so there's not just, like, houses everywhere. So that's kind of cool. You also get, like, a rowboat very early. So, like, ship stuff is a key part of the game, and ship-to-ship combat, even. And what's cool, even on your horse mount and also your rowboat, you can other people can jump onto your boat and stuff like that. And they also have an option to, like, kick people off. And just not have people, like, jump on and everything, so that there's not just random dudes, like, riding behind you on your horse and stuff like that.
Who are you?
Yeah, which is kind of funny because, like, at one point, like, I was like, hey, David, we should just share a rowboat, and then you can just row, and I'll just get on the boat. And then he was like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. So I, like, desummon my boat. Oh, it's funny because when you get your boat, you have, like, a scroll, so you're summoning your boat from another dimension. Like, it, like, warps in. It's kind of hilarious. It's funnier when it's like a huge ship. Like, I saw, like, a huge ship come in, and it looks super rad. Like, it's like the big, like, portal, and then the ship is just coming through, and then, like, yeah, and it just kind of just, like it's just there, like, suddenly. But, like, yeah, David kicked me off of his rowboat. But what's cool is that the I parked my boat I put it on a beach, and then it was there like a good like 2 hours later, like my same boat. It's like, it's just, there's a lot of like good like small little things that they do, even just with the animations and stuff. Like, if you're running, like, if you're strafing and then you suddenly stop, like, your guy kind of, like, does, like, a little slide thing, and he doesn't just, like, stop. And then if you're riding up, like, a hill, like, your horse looks like he's struggling a little bit or, like, more. So it's just, there's a lot more stuff that, like, a lot of MMOs just don't do, and it just, it's just seems really polished. And then, yeah, you can build, like, castles and stuff, and you can fight everything. And there's, like,
Can you build a house in your castle?
I don't know, I guess.
And
I don't know,
build
why.
A boat.
Do you have to kill
10 in the
rats?
House?
Did I kill 10 rats? I don't think I killed 10 rats, but I have killed... They have been like, hey, like, go kill like these dudes. And I'm like, all right, I killed these dudes. And they're like, here's some stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's still MMO-ness.
Some orc assholes.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, that stuff doesn't go away. It's just, there's more like PvP stuff. What's cool is that... you don't pick a class, you pick like a skill, a branch to start with. So I did like Berserker or something, which is the fighter thing. And then when you're at fifth level, you pick another set. And then at 10th level, you pick another set, and you can just pick whatever you want. So you can just totally mess up your character or something like that. But there's a lot of suggestions and everything.
And Dan comes, is breaking WWE.
Breaking news. Macho Man Randy Savage savagely pummeled by Razor Ramon. I didn't even know he was in this game.
He's the bad guy.
Epic Razor Ramon.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff. There's like airships and everything. I got like a glider. Like, it looks like a Kid Cloud Kicker. No, actually, it looks more like the Nasuka Valley of the Wind glider thing. Like, you're kind of like... You actually ride it the same, which is kind of funny when you're fully armored and you have, like, a helm and stuff, and then you're just, like, gliding around. But, yeah, there's, like, a lot of cool stuff in that game.
A fully armored plate mail person riding a air glider is about, makes about as much sense as a giant fighter in second edition riding swimming in the ocean
in full plate.
On a log.
Kit
full plate.
Cloud Kicker is the face of the devil.
Yeah, and then there's, like, you know, just random bosses that spawn. Like, I saw a video of, like a whole guild with a whole bunch of all of their ships and stuff like that. And there's different kinds of ships. There's, like, big pirate ships. There's, like, catamarans, kind of look like Waterworld, kind of. The only good part of Waterworld is that cool boat that he had.
Sure. And him drinking his pee.
Well.
Start the movie off right.
Yep. You knew you were in for a good movie. When Kevin Costner pees into a cup and then drinks it.
The Mariner.
You're just like, yep, this is going to be great. I'm really in for something.
Waterworld? Jean Triplehorn?
Yeah, she's pretty hot in Basic Instinct.
Then he goes on to become the postman.
But yeah, I saw a video of that people with, like, all of their boats, and then, like, a big, like, Kraken comes out of the sea and just starts, like, just destroying them.
Do you have to subscribe to this game again?
No, you do not. It is a free-to-play. Well, when it actually does come out, because it's in closed beta. I think they're trying to get it end of the year or early next year, like, a full. It's going to be a free-to-play. There's subscription models for, I don't know, there's, like, I got these tax forms. I don't know what they do. I think, like, when you actually have property, you have to pay taxes on it so that it stays around, just like other MMOs.
Real Estate Simulator 2014.
Just, well, instead of paying gold and stuff like that. And then there's also, like, when you identify stuff, it costs labor points, and then you earn labor points by just playing the game, like, every 5 minutes or something. But if you have, like, a subscription thing, you get more of those points or something. It didn't seem like a very big problem. Like, I didn't really run out, like, the whole time I was playing. So maybe at higher levels or something. But
I think you should figure out the cost-benefit analysis of subscribing versus getting a Chinese guy to play for.
Yes. Yes. But, yeah, that seems awesome. I'm really looking forward to playing that more tonight.
Cool.
It looks very Korean. Actually, not so much. Like, the armor doesn't look super exaggerated like the like a Final Fantasy X plus.
Are the titties huge?
I didn't really notice if there was, like, huge titties.
What about purple hair?
I think there was people with purple hair.
And blue hair?
Yeah, I think there was some blue hair. It's not, like, it feels like it's a little more muted than some of the lineage, like, the first lineage and, What's a good example of those of the of
Ragnarok?
Fantasy Star Online.
No, not Fantasy Star Online.
Ragnarok.
Maybe Ragnarok. Oh,
sorry.
Your phone's making noise.
That's all I have.
Okay. We're gonna go to the other Dan. What'd you play? No.
His mouth seems full.
Go ahead, Kevin. What'd you play this week?
I played Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
I'm done.
Good.
I didn't finish, like, many more levels.
Okay.
And as I was playing, I realized my rules. I have to beat a game. Uh-huh. Get to the end of the game.
Yeah.
I don't have to beat 100%. I don't need, like, challenge levels.
You just need to get to the last level. Uh-huh.
The last real level. Everything I was doing, like, after I beat the end, all of that stuff was challenge levels. There was no more boss stage. There wasn't anything after that.
You've actually been done with the game.
Yeah, and I played challenge levels for an hour. Those are fucking hard. Uh-huh. Holy shit, they are really fucking hard.
Well, it would make sense considering Super Meat Boy is not an easy game as it is.
I got through nine of the 20 challenge levels, which I don't even know how I got through that many.
So you got through Tubular then,
Failure.
Right?
Do you know the best
Radical.
Thing?
What?
Awesome.
I don't get it.
Those are star levels on Super
Kevin's
Mario World.
Kevin.
Oh. I was thinking Ninja Turtles, and I was just like, what does this have to do?
Cowabunga!
Yeah. I made a funny!
Some of those levels, though, were just flat out... Like, you have to walk off a cliff into... There's a fan blowing upward. Mm-hmm. You need to fall into that fan so it blows you upward. There's a saw above you. And you think, well, I need it blow me up and go around the saw and stick to the wall. You can't go anywhere from that. You have to jump off the cliff, have it start blowing you up just the right amount, and run as fast as you can in a shallow upward arc between two saw blades that are in the middle of this leap of faith to the opposite side, has that same propeller blowing up to get a key on essentially the platform you've started on, but on the mirror of the world.
Sounds a little bit like one of the airship level in Shovel Knight that I was playing, where it had those fan things, and then it had the wind gusts where you were floating and you didn't really have any control over yourself, and there was a bed of spikes at the top and the bottom was pit at the bottom. So.
One level is the final one. It's a few saws. Like, it's all saws. Some are moving, some are staying still.
Yep.
I jump through first passage, and it's like, this isn't too bad. Go up one floor. There's a saw to jump over while it's moving. That wasn't too bad. Go the next floor up. And this just keeps going back and forth. There's two saws that are moving in like a crisscross pattern. On the same track, but, you know, when one's on left, one's on right, they meet at the middle, and they're big blades, and you have to jump through that. Then you go up, and there's like... There's a spot where the room is as tall as you are. So there is no jumping. There's a saw blade barely coming out of the floor. You have to run and jump. And when you hit a wall, you compress a little. You have to compress over this blade. It's fucking hard. It's a bad game.
It's not a bad game.
It's a good game.
It's a great game.
It's a just, mean game.
It's a hard game.
It's a game that doesn't fucking care.
Yeah.
It's bad.
So now that Super Meat Boy has been put to bed.
Person.
I don't know what'll be next on Infinite Deaths.
Okay.
I need to decide because...
Did you get through Spikes or did you not don't want to do it anymore?
I had to quit on that. Oh. It got to a point where it wasn't even entertaining because it's one level that it took like 3 minutes before you could even really begin the part where you die. Mm. So it's so standard issue, and then you stand still for about 3 minutes waiting for all the spikes to shoot off in the right way. And it's like, and then you go down and you immediately die. And it's like, this is not fun to watch, and it's not me getting pissed off as much as, okay, now we wait for 3 minutes. How are you all doing out there? I'm bored. And it's been 3 minutes, and go down, and I'm not even invested in this. Go back, we wait for 3 minutes. So it got boring. And then I also played The Road Not Taken, which is free game on PS Plus for PS4 this month. It is a weird game. It is... a roguelike. It is an RPG-like.
I'm out.
It is a math-like. It's a... or match 3-like. It's a puzzle-like.
Okay.
It's kind of like...
What isn't it like?
So it's 10 million?
It's not a first-person shooter.
You sure?
10,000?
Or maybe you just haven't gotten to that part yet.
No, it's not.
Okay.
So...
Is it a MOBA?
No.
MOBA-like.
It's not a MOBA-like.
MOBA-like.
But it is a roguelike. It's like a roguelike.
Is it an RTS?
No, more of a turn-based strategy.
Is it a collectible RPG?
There is collectibles.
All right.
So, in the game, you're the stranger who wanders in town and kind of has aesthetics that look a little bit like Harvest Moon type of stuff. You know, you move in kind of a grid-like fashion.
Yep.
There's a bunch of town people that you could raise their, like, attitude towards you with. You'll collect, like, coins or rice or berries or bunnies.
Sure. Mm.
And you could give them to people. They'll get happier. They might give you an artifact, some knowledge, or a Oh, no, they may give you a coin or some rice or something, or a bunny. You get a house. You could select, like, what artifacts to equip. You could equip two at a time. And then you go into the forest. Every year you return town, and you do this for, I guess, 15 years, so it's 15 stages. And it's a randomly generated, like, maze of rooms. So you're trying to collect children. The children are lost, harvesting berries.
Okay. You're lost children, you're helping them.
You're a stranger.
Yep.
Who's collecting children.
No, you're returning children.
Sure you are, returning
to the grave. Mm-hmm.
The way you do it is you have to throw them. Okay, it's get weirder. Mm-hmm. You throw them at their mothers.
Yep.
And then the mothers go, yay! And the children go, yay!
We talked about throwing children at mothers before.
After you're done traumatizing the children.
No, I think they mentioned it on Giant Bomb.
Oh, okay.
After you're done traumatizing the children, you throw them back at their parents because they're no good to you anymore.
And you could throw almost anything. You could pick up and throw almost anything. Different rooms will have, like, there'll be a... So as you play, you'll learn things about stuff by bumping into it. Which is perfectly fine for, like, children or logs or stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that's how I learn about children.
Excuse me, Billy. It's also how you learn about the bad guys in a game. There are evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And if you... Some of them will chase you, and if they get you, they eat a bunch of your life. Others stay still, and you can actually pick up or throw, but if you bump into them, they disappear and take some of your life. So you start learning recipes, like if you throw three beehives together, you get a pot of honey. Try this in real world, kids. Sometimes a bee will come out, but if you pick up that bee, don't let it bump into you, just pick him up and throw him. When he hits into a wall, he'll be happy again.
I feel like last time I was in Seattle downtown, I met a guy who was talking about this game. He was just on a street corner yelling at me. He also called me a communist.
Seattle police communist.
I miss Seattle police or communist guy.
He's no longer there, I think.
No, I haven't seen him for a long time.
I hope he's all right.
So this game, though, you have returned half the children. If you return half the children, you could call it quits for a year there.
Well, good, yeah.
If you return all of them, you'll get a better reward. Your energy carries over from year to year. When you get, like, a child returned, you get a few points of energy. If you match, like, three beehives and eat the honey, you get some energy. Some things, if you match together, you'll get potions. And then if you throw that potion at an object, it'll match with that object, and it'll have effects like one of them, that object is afraid of you. So all of a sudden, you'll have a rock. A big, huge rock that's too heavy for you to move. It's afraid of you, so now it'll move away from you.
Hmm.
You'll have, like, if you throw a mole at something, it'll trade places. So if you throw it at, like, let's say an enemy is coming at you, you throw it at the enemy, and it'll move the enemy some.
I feel like I'm thinking of Boy and His Blob and Dark Cloud 2
when
you're taking pictures.
It's kind of that level of weirdness.
Okay.
Like, you match things that make no sense. No. And then, eventually, after enough years, so your energy carries over. It's better to rescue a lot of kids, so you get a big energy reward, and you get, like, more money. Which, when you give money, townspeople eventually raise their friendship level.
Makes friends.
It, damn straight it does. Mm-hmm. Dude, if you gave me $20, my happiness meter would go up. I'd be like...
Set.
Kevin is now a better friend. Moral of the story is the world's a bad place.
We leveled up.
So,
well, obviously you're a creepy stranger who's taking children and throwing them at parents.
Rescuing children.
Or
rescuing.
Actually, what I found works better, I don't even touch those kids. Hey, cops misunderstood me. I pick up the parents and throw them at the kids, and that works too.
Do you have to match them to the exact parent?
No.
Hmm.
And
this is fishy. You're just redistributing children.
What is this guy's qualification?
Those aren't even their children.
Or here's the best
like
part.
You're taking other people's children. There's another town that's just like, what happened to all the children?
You could just throw the children to the first screen of the dungeon.
In the mines trying to find the magic rocks.
If you throw the kids to the first screen, that also saves them.
Yeah, sure.
Because the mayor's there.
Yeah.
At any point, you could teleport back to first screen. Because he has a sash that follow says the mayor.
I don't trust. Where are his credentials?
Just I didn't vote for him.
The sash.
No.
That's a credential. Oh, he has a little crown.
I didn't vote for him.
He has a crown, too.
So is he a king or is he a mayor?
He's the king of mayors.
See, I told you. This is
king of mayors?
Yeah.
Like a horse?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like an old female horse that doesn't breed anymore? Mm.
So eventually, after, I think it's after 3 years, your basement unlocked. Great. I know it sounds even creepier.
We've already, this
isn't a game, is it? Kevin, this isn't a game, is it?
Dan, stay out of the basement.
I feel like if you download this game, you're automatically on a watch list.
Yeah.
Dan, stay out of our basement.
Yeah. Like after
do you
the game,
come to my basement.
After the game came out, some guy
to my basement.
Come to my basement.
Do you want in my basement?
Like the weekend after this came out, some guy in the FBI just got to his computer. Like he's like, "All right, had a nice weekend." It's oh dear God.
What is this? What is PlayStation Plus? And why do I have like 20,000 people on my watch list?
There's a reason that road isn't taken.
Yeah.
Bravo.
And so in the basement, though, one cool thing is you could ban two objects. So there'll be different objects down there. So if you don't like those moles, because like when it says,
fuck those moles.
If you have to match five moles to open a doorway, remember, every time you throw them, they trade with something. So it's hard to match them. You could ban the moles. You could ban two objects per run.
So now we've got freaking racism in here, too. I mean, we must speciesism. Not have species. Okay, fine. Speciesism.
Yeah.
It's even worse moles aren't than people. Racism.
Unless you're talking about mole
it's even
people.
Worse.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about mole people.
Entire species.
And then the chuds got me.
Moles are delicious. I don't know.
What do they eat in the Philippines with moles?
I'm pretty sure somebody eats moles.
Probably.
Yeah.
Somebody's got
probably in West Virginia.
Yeah.
In the Appalachians.
The only moles I've ever seen.
I believe the moles are more of an Ozarks dish.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, if you want a buffet of moles, they are tearing up my backyard.
The Grand Tetons.
A buffet of moles is the next George R. R. Martin book.
I love it.
Winter has come. They have to eat a buffet.
The Great House of the Moles.
This is a fucking half
that's
of the book.
That's standard.
Is a POV chapter of just fucking Sir Moley of the Moleskins.
From beneath you we dig.
His banner is a mole with an iron hand around it. And it's bloody.
So I did play one other one other game. We'll move away from the road we should never take again.
The road that should never be taken.
Is it actually fun, though?
It's fun, but really fucking hard. I can only get to year four.
It sounds fun because I like games where you kind of experiment with, and then you're just kind of like, oh, cool, that combination
games
works.
Games where you kind of experiment
every time,
with sexuality.
Every time you die, like any roguelike, you lose everything, but you keep your knowledge, your notebook, so you keep all of the recipes.
Yeah. I like games with recipes. That's why I think like I played...
So why don't you play Quick Serve Delicious, Dan?
Because they just never got an opportunity.
No, that's not real recipes.
Oh, there's recipes.
No, that just you match what they tell you to. It's fun when you have like moon.
I want to play that though.
Moon plus cat plus cheese.
Yeah. That's what I loved about Dark Cloud 2 when you're just like taking pictures. Is it Dark Cloud?
Yeah. Dark Cloud 2.
Isn't there a different name?
No.
In Japan? Have we had this conversation before?
Yeah.
You're getting old, Dan. The memory starts to slip.
So I played one other game, and it's a game in the very loosest sense. I don't mean like Hohokam.
Like Mountain?
I don't mean like that. I played Depression Quest. It is really fucking good. Mm. Holy shit, it's good.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's free.
I also played Depression Quest.
Yeah, I believe you talked about it.
I was interested.
The writing in it is really well done.
If you liked that, you should check out. What was that one I mentioned to you a while ago about you making friends on an old 1980s bulletin board with an AI?
You told us about that. Yeah, I remember.
Oh,
I
don't remember what it was. You did tell us.
But if you like Depression Quest, you'll like that too. You should check that out.
So what is Depression Quest like?
It is like all text.
Text-based? Okay.
And essentially, you start more or less at the same place every time. You have a shitty job. You have a girlfriend that you've been with for a short while.
You get to pick who you play?
No.
Okay.
Oh. It plays a lot like, Digital Love Story.
Yeah, that's the one.
So it plays a lot like a choose-your-own-adventure book, mm-hmm. except you'll have choices at the bottom. So, like, you'll say... one of your coworkers calls you up, and you're thinking, great, he only calls me when he wants me to cover his shift. And you're waiting for him through the small talk when he surprises you and says, so the litter of kittens that I had, I got rid of all but one. I can't find a home for this one. You should take a cat. And you tell him, nah, I don't have, like, the stuff for it. And he's like, no, I'll give you everything. I already got the shots for it. I'll give you a litter box, some toys, a carrier. And then you have choice at bottom. You know, I do like cats. And it'd be something good to help my mindset. It'd give me some companionship. That one for me was crossed out. There's two. No, I'm not a cat person. And I don't think this is the right time. That was crossed out. There was three. I'll take the cat. I feel very much like I'm being blackmailed into this. Mm. Four, I won't take the cat. I don't know what to do. Five, change subject. Mm-hmm. So I picked I'll take the cat. And you go through like feeling depressed because at first the cat is terrified of you. And it's like everything you do in the game can alter, like you don't know how it's going to play out. You could decide instead of doing your work, I was doing work at home, and it goes, all of a sudden you get an instant message from your friend Attic, Attic being his screen name. And it's like, do you continue working? Do you tell him, no, I'm busy? Do you just ignore it? Or do you stop working? And that's the bottom choice, stop working and chat with him. It's the bottom choice, and it's like typically the bottom one is the least responsible and the worst one pick. I picked the bottom one, ended up counseling him through, he found out his wife was cheating on him. And at the end, you get a big boost because you felt good helping someone. And then after that, essentially, you go, all of a sudden you have renewed drive to finish your work. Mm-hmm. So it's really unexpected what'll happen. And does a great job of, you know, giving more of an inside view of what depression is.
Is there, like, stats or something? Like, some kind of meter or something like that?
You are told there's three essential metrics. One, how depressed you are. And it'll go from, like, beginning will usually say, you are feeling somewhat depressed. It's hard to find the motivation to do anything. And you're not feeling, or you're feeling very fatigued. Mm-hmm. Second metric is you are not seeing a counselor. Third one is you are not on medication. And once you have a counselor, if you get to one, you'll end up having like how your relationship goes with counselor. It could end up being destructive if you keep fighting against it. And medication can have side effect. Like I had one part where it's like your girlfriend Alex wants to be intimate with you. And wouldn't just give me the option of, yes, sexy time. That one was crossed out. So I was good enough where I said, I blow off or I unwind a little and then try and be intimate. And goes, so you pour a drink for her, you and her having a drink, talking about work, and eventually the talk becomes flirtatious, and then it's sexy time. You did know one of the side effects of the medication is it is a lot harder for intimacy issues. But you work through it. And it's like, okay, cool. This game is very serious and very deep. And at the very end...
I got this sort of windsock thing going here.
At the very end, it goes through like a set amount of time. very end, it's you have a family gathering for the holidays at your parents' house. And, you know, you either are having a miserable time or a great time or in between. And it will say, like, you're so thankful that your mom for once didn't ask how you are doing, because you have sort of an issue with your mom not believing you. Then it goes, your mom asked how you are doing. And then you click the next button for next page, and it's essentially the epilogue, where it will tell you, here's how you did.
Yeah.
Your work situation, it's not great, but you're looking for a new job now. You have a cat, and the cat came over with you for the holidays, and it's running around, and everyone's fun and happy with it. So it's a really neat game. And if you play with a controller, I know it sounds weird for a all-text thing, it has a real cool visual effect. If they're saying on the screen that you don't know about, like it'll say, your first time it says, your girlfriend, Alex, that'll be highlightable. And you could click on that, and it'll tell you about your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So if you already played the game, you don't need to look at those. If you use controller select which option, has a real cool effect where it goes from one to next. It's not just this one's highlighted, now this one. It does like this whoosh, like this weird cool transition. I thought it was real
That's
cool.
Funny of all the things.
Like there are little details, like the whole thing is text, but at the very top will be a picture matching the appropriate like situation, and there's light background sounds, not necessarily music. But, like, if you go to a restaurant, it'll have restaurant sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Cool?
And it's free.
On Steam?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard good stuff about that. I just haven't wanted to play it, just because I was just like, yeah, it's just...
It can drag you down, but can also like make you feel good. It's
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, something like, where it's entirely up to how you go through it will affect, like, if this is something that makes you feel miserable or kind of good.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those where it's important enough that, like, you should try it at some point, but I just feel like I'm not in the right mindset to try it.
And it's only 45 minutes, really, get through one playthrough. So, I mean, it's well worth it.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's on Steam now.
Yeah. And for free. I think it's actually really good to be free out there, because I think it's a good, like, inside view, since, you know, it's more written from the perspective of somebody who actually did have depression.
Yeah, more understanding and stuff.
So that's what I played.
Cool.
Yeah, that last one that was in two.
It is called Depression Quest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
what's going on, Dan?
Nothing.
No?
Already.
Yeah, you did. I played some games this week.
Oh. Swingcopter.
Yeah, I played 5 minutes of Swingcopter.
How's that?
I think you confused Dan.
Yeah, it's easy to confuse Dan sometimes.
Well, I think he thought you were going to throw it to me.
Nope, I'm going to go now.
Cool.
I was like,
So, how many points did you get in Swingcopter?
Zero, and then I immediately deleted it.
I thought you got 1 point.
No, nope. I got one.
Oh.
Kevin's the greatest Swingcopter player out of anyone here.
It only took me 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think I won the moral victory by not trying it at all.
Okay.
Ooh.
I don't need to play Swingcopter to be more man.
Sure.
Dan, it's free.
Oh. I'm busy pummeling people with the rock. That's how I know I'm a man.
Slowly progressing
Is that
through
an epic rock?
Ultra rare.
Oh. Slowly progressing through Xenogears. I did phase portion of the attack on the border.
Mm.
Or I'm still in it, actually.
What disc are you on?
There's no discs.
What?
It's all digital.
No, there's a disc. It'll ask you to flip in. You have to hold down the PlayStation button and then tell it to flip discs.
You have to blow in it.
Really? No, they're really.
I believe you. But yeah. That's really dumb.
I can't tell who's lying right now.
It's truth. You hold down PlayStation button, and you go into the options, like the settings.
And it tells you switch disc, right?
Yeah, and you select which disc. Disc 2. Then you exit out of that, and then you say, yes, I changed disc.
We can't program our software to automatically do that for you.
It's emulated. No effort goes into emulation.
We can't make this shit up.
Maybe somebody thought that was funny. Like, it was like, hey, it's cool. Because it's an old game,
I want an emulator that goes more like on those old Sierra games where every time you change screens, it goes put into 7.
Larry 2.
Yeah, put in disc 6, side B. Fucking fuck.
Which one is disc 6?
I get labeled all of these pirated discs that I got.
Yeah.
They're all blank.
No, the thing I remember in that vein is like, so floppy disk, you know, kind of pretty quick, in and out, read speed. Did anybody here ever play the X-Files PC game that they had? That was 7 CD-ROMs.
Oh my god.
You had to switch it around when you went to specific places.
I played
places.
Cyber War, which was like that. You know what Cyber War was?
No.
That was the game after the game based on the Lawnmower Man movie.
Okay.
So you fight Job.
Sure.
Now, to be fair, the bad guy did look exactly like Job from the movie.
Jeff Fahey?
I mean like the computerized version of him. Uh-huh. It looked exactly the same. The downside is that movie looks. The downside is that movie looks like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Is that better or worse than the Super Nintendo Lawnmower Man? We'll never know.
Oh, it's way better.
We'll never know.
I do. It's better. I played the Super Nintendo Lawnmower
Man. That X-Files game was fun. But yeah, so Xenogears still progressing. I basically was grinding a lot more so I could get my character up to level 30.
You should get to level 80 before you
the
go
tower?
Anywhere.
Sure, yeah, okay.
And that way you still
hate
won't
myself.
You won't have 7 AP,
uh-huh.
But once you do,
you
you'll have everything.
Yeah. In addition to that, I only really played one other game this week. I made an interesting purchase, Dan. I bought Diablo 3 on my Xbox One.
I shake my head at you.
How many hours did you play
crazy.
That game? How many hours did you
like
play
200
that game?
200? Something
like that. Oh, yeah, Dark Chronicle in Japan.
I feel like I've also shown this to you.
Sure.
Exactly
your phone?
The same.
Yeah, I've seen your phone before.
No, that same screen. And I'm just like, I'm
look at my phone!
This is like every like 50 episodes we have to do this. But yeah, so how's Diablo 3?
It's pretty cool on the console.
Yeah.
I like not having to worry about clicking a million times.
We're having a really good time with the drop-in feature. I'll come home, see he's playing it. I'll just jump in and start playing.
Is it only two players?
No, you can have four people on the same screen.
It's actually really – it translates very well to console. We should totally try it.
So it's like Gauntlet if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so. Can you zoom out? Like, can somebody walk – how far can somebody walk
away from you? The screen actually does zoom out a decent amount when we've been playing.
How do you do inventory management?
It's still the same as the – so you hit the select button and you've got your it's a wheel, so you select each
there's also a quick version where if you pick something up you press up on the D-pad and it lets you scroll through the
so if you pick something new up it'll have a little entry for it and it'll show you the arrows on it and you just hit a button to equip it, or you can set it to junk at that point so that when you get back into town you can actually just hit one button and sell all your junk at the vendor.
Mm-hmm. Works pretty good.
Yeah, it's streamlined. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not mouse clicking and
so
dragging
all your junk.
Yeah,
drunk.
But it translates pretty well to the controller. Being able to directly move is nice.
What classes are you guys playing?
I am playing a Crusader.
What class are you playing, Helmick?
Badass.
He's a Wizard.
Oh, Wizard. Are they called Wizards?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And Warriors.
I prefer his term Badass.
He's a Wizard. He shoots lightning. Yeah. His rare frost slash lightning now.
Sith.
That Crusader is pretty cool. I like that shield bash move.
I think those are the two new. I don't remember if Wizard was even.
I played a monk for about 2 seconds.
And
I was
like this
nope.
sucks.
Well, it was no good because your Crusader was already up there killing everything, and I was just kind of getting lost in the shuffle. I was like, nah, I'd rather stand 10 paces behind and zap everything.
Yeah, they nerfed those monks so bad. They used to be so good. Is basically like monk or bust, especially when you get into Inferno. Like, there's no reason to play anything else but a monk.
Yeah. The game's pretty fun. I think it translates really well to a controller.
Monk or bust!
You're always getting gear, you know. You're usually getting new powers.
Where are you right now?
We still haven't finished Act 1 yet, so. I don't know. I've been going through the game and...
think of the axe, I always like one in three.
We just took out the butcher. Favorite.
Yeah, we just killed the butcher before you guys got here.
Okay. Oh, so you're at the end of Act One.
Yeah, pretty much. We saved. We found the stranger, and he's, you know, obviously an archangel.
He's an angel from the future.
You found a stranger who's putting children in his basement.
No, there's no story. Nobody knows.
It's Diablo. Diablo.
El Diablo.
But yeah, and then, you know, I've been kind of fooling around with the smithy, doing the vendor stuff, the crafting thing. That seems to work pretty well. It's kind of cool.
Smithy.
Yes, fuck you, Ryback. Oh, okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Smithy.
I always played I think my first character was a demon hunter.
The demon hunters look pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They got that weird creepy mask.
And dual wield hand crossbows.
Oh no, sorry, that's the witch doctor I was thinking with the creepy witch mask. Doctor.
Oh, I should play witch doctor and yell the Usos thing. I gotta learn how to chant their thing.
Sure. So crazy?
No, he wants the intro like
when they're doing the dance and chant, they're yelling.
When they're doing the Maori thing.
Before they do the
they're doing the Maori thing, even though they're Samoan.
Yep.
Hey, same thing.
Have you worn your t-shirt yet, Dan?
No, I have it in my car. What?
It's bright orange.
You know, yeah, this close to buying John a fella t-shirt.
No.
Just because I do go to know him.
Ugh, I would burn it.
Why? You don't
burn
like
a t-shirt
Sheamus?
I bought you?
No, I wouldn't burn
you
it.
You don't like Sheamus? Like, you hate him that much where you're like, I'm going to burn his shirt?
I find him kind of boring, but I don't hate him.
Yeah.
I find him hard to look at. He hurts my eyes, my retinas.
I like how silly he is. Anyway,
so yeah,
he likes to fight. That's what I hear.
Did you get cool drops?
Oh, yeah.
Good loots.
Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, I got my ass kicked by a legendary JBL card in this yesterday. I forgot to tell you, it's the ugliest card I've ever seen. They can't make JBL look attractive, not in any way.
And they'll introduce Michael Cole as the joke card, and everyone will play him, get him epic level.
You'd be surprised how many people play Mr. McMahon.
He actually plays in Divas Division.
I would love to play Paul Heyman or Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, so that's all I played this week. Just lots of Diablo since I picked it up.
Did you get good drops?
I've gotten some good stuff. I like that when you're playing, so there's certain times you'll find like gifts on the ground that you can give to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll give him like a random legendary item. So I've gotten like three of those for Dan.
I got a two-handed mace from my wizard that I shoot lightning out of, I guess.
Did you upgrade your crafting?
Yeah, my smithy is a grandmaster now? Master? Although I think I might have messed up in the beginning because I was just selecting things. I wasn't actually looking at the items to be like, oh yeah, you should craft that.
Yeah, it's so different now that I don't even know what the crafting would look like. No, because they changed that.
I've got some socketed items at this point.
Ooh, did you dye your things?
No,
you got to get all stylish.
Okay, do I need to buy some dye?
You got to have a theme. Just make them all one color. That's what I
used to do.
Looks
like a brick shit house.
Boom, motherfucker! 2 points.
Anyway,
so yeah, that was it for me this week. All. Diablo 3 is fun, especially I like it on the console quite a bit. So.
Yeah, I heard that it's pretty good.
Helmick,
good translation.
What did you play this week aside from Diablo 3 with me and WWE
Supercard? Played a lot of Supercard. let's see. Lately, I've been playing a lot of Mercenary Kings. That game has surprising depth, and I had no idea how many missions it has. It has a fucking ton of missions.
Are you still playing a co-op?
Actually, I've been playing it by myself, mostly grinding stuff so I can build all the guns.
Mm-hmm.
So the gun customization in that game is partly what makes the game really fun. And then also, your character can equip 2 bionic mods that might be wildly disparate. So one is like called Gourmet, and it increases the effect of all food items.
Oh, okay.
And then also you have a melee weapon that there are a bunch of different melee weapons you can make. So my guy uses a glaive right now that I can attack guys through barriers with. But before that, I was using a broken bottle. And then before that, I was using a toilet plunger.
Yeah.
I like the fire
knife.
I feel
like you progressed quite a bit. From toilet plunger, broken bottle, to glaive.
The toilet plunger is actually really good because it does cold damage. And that's another thing about the game. It's actually very in-depth. It's got like 4 different elemental damages and like 6 different damages. And then you have different ammunitions you can equip to your gun. And your gun is you take a receiver, you add a barrel, you add a stock, you add a magazine.
Scope also.
And a sight, yes. And so you can make like these crazy Frankenstein guns. I made a handgun that had a trombone bell as its barrel.
What's great is when you make a gun so heavy you can't even fucking move. You can barely.
Oh, so there's weight to
it. Yeah.
Yes, okay. And it determines how fast you are. So the two bionic mods I equip are both sprinter. So when you're doing when you're trying to grind missions for loot, you want to have both the sprinter mods on so you can run fast as fast as you can. And right now my fast running gun gun is a handgun that I've put a magnum barrel on and a scope from a sniper rifle and a magazine from a sniper rifle and a stock from a minigun. And I run through this level. And another thing about the game is that the more you craft, the more you kill, the more things you find, you actually gain proficiencies and you can equip a skill. So I have a skill called Selective Fire that I got by creating a bunch of machine gun parts. And it makes it so any gun I shoot does 3-round bursts.
Oh, okay.
So I have this pistol that has 18 rounds to the magazine, and it does 3-round, which is and I have caustic ammunition, which does acid damage.
Which is the best.
Right, because it punches through shielding. So even guys who have shields, like they're these snails that look like Mega Man villains, when they're down in the position, you can't hurt them through the snail shell.
Unless you have caustic.
And
ironically, they drop the stuff they'll usually give you.
Sulfuric acid.
Yeah, they'll drop what gives you caustic equipment.
Right, and then also there are these guys who have magnum guns and hold shields, and they'll drop the shield only long enough to shoot. And so you usually have to time it, but instead if you have caustic, you just blow right through their shield, and then they drop it. So it's a really good game with great animation and amazing sound. I love everything about Mercenary Kings. If I have one problem about it, it's not really a problem, but it really speaks to what you're like as a gamer. You have to grind the fuck out of levels to get all the stuff.
Which is why the only reason I quit, I love the grinding. I actually love that, but since I had the PS4 version with those long load times,
yeah,
it meant you spent longer loading the level than you did running through grinding shit out.
Now, on the other hand, I have it installed on my solid state drive, so it has its load time is like half a second.
That's what I'm almost tempted to buy it on Steam.
Dude, if you do, I'll play it. I'll play the shit out of that game with you if you want.
Because I mean, it looks so good. The gun creation stuff is so much fun.
The control's real tight too for a platformer, and it's a lot of fun. It's like a crazy mashup of like an ARPG, like with the inventory and the crafting and stuff, and like Contra.
Contra, yeah.
It's really fun. And there are nice customization options too. So you can play a guy or a girl, and then you can change their color and stuff. I didn't know how to do that at first. And then you can they each have a tent, and then you can customize the tent, like with ornamentation,
flags,
and banners. I have a Japanese banner in mind, and my guy, I changed his color, so he's got slightly yellow cast to his skin and dark hair. So I decided he's a Japanese mercenary ex-commando named Zero Talent. That's his code name.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it's actually super fun. I'm enjoying it a lot. I was playing the fuck out of Star Wars Conquest for probably 2 of the weeks that I haven't been on the podcast.
Star Wars Conquest?
It's a mod. It's a Star Wars mod for Mountain Blade.
Oh, yeah.
That game is so addictive. I finally joined the Galactic or the Rebel Alliance, and I like go to Mon Mothma. I was like, I'd like to join. She's like, yes, please. You're a mercenary captain of some skill. And I was like, yeah. So how's the war going? She's like, oh, we're gonna lose.
Glad I joined the winning team.
We have 13 generals, and the Galactic Empire currently has 26 armies. And I was like, oh. So I started mounting these guerrilla campaigns. The first thing I did is saved up enough money to So one thing about Mountain Blade is that there are two ways to get more troops. The first way is to the first way is to get leadership.
Yeah,
you raise your charisma and leadership. The second way is to gain renown. And I found that if you get really good on your speeder bike and you get a powerful lightsaber, which does a fair amount of damage, you can one-shot a lot of guys in the game. Mm-hmm. So my guy, I put all his points in polearm, so I have a lightsaber pike. And I drive by on my speeder bike and just knock guys out, just poof, poof. And I have a skill right now of like 375 in pole arms just from killing dudes. I took out the Emperor in one hit and sold him back to the Empire for 10,000 credits. I took out Darth Vader in one hit and sold him back for a few thousand credits. Strangely, the hardest one to kill was Grand Moff Tarkin.
No, the best. I think the picture I get there is like Darth Vader and the Emperor going, "I sense a great disturbance in the pang." Oh,
What it's more like is Mountain Blade is you go over a hill and suddenly Darth Vader's shooting lightning at you. Go, oh no, lightning's not good. Ah. You can play a Jedi in the game, and you can play a droid. In the game, and basically the way you play a droid is you just go to a droid dealer and say, I'll buy that droid head and that droid arm, and you just glom it on your character.
What?
I'm not kidding. That's how you do it.
Nice. That sounds awesome. I played so much Blade.
You can play a droid Jedi, by the way. You can learn force powers. The force powers are a little hinky.
Yeah.
My character doesn't use force powers, but I have several characters in my party who do. I have... At this point, my army is huge. I have like 200 dudes, and fully, I think 15 of them are named NPCs that joined me, and some of them are really high level. My guy's like 40th level, maybe.
That was always a cool thing in Mount and Blade, where you felt like this is like your dudes, like because you would talk to them and everything, you do quests for them and stuff, and you'd level them up, and then like your band army would just be like with you.
Yes, guess who I got in my party. Kyle Katarn.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, I met him in a bar, and he's like, yeah, I have these funny feelings once in a while. I was like, yeah, it's the Force. Come join me, dude. He's like, I'll join you for 200 credits. Sold. And so at this point, I got him a really good speeder bike and a very good blaster pistol and a lightsaber. Nice. And he has only a Force shield for his powers, but he's pretty awesome. Oddly, sounds my most great. Badass guy I got is a mercenary I got named... And I forget his name. It's like Valen Swag or something. But I put him in Stormtrooper Officer's armor and gave him a reverse-gripped lightsaber pole arm. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have force points or force powers or anything. I just gave him this lightsaber and a scoped Stormtrooper rifle and said, go to town. He doesn't even use a speeder bike. He just plops himself in front of a hill, on top of a hill, and just starts sniping dudes. And then when it gets into the melee, he just runs forward and cuts tons of them with his pole arm. It's really super fun. I had to stop though because I was getting too embroiled in it.
Yeah.
The way it works, because it's Mount and Blade, is you end up crushing armies left and right, and then you have to rest a little bit, and then go back and crush. And it's very attrition based. So if you besiege a planet, you know you'll fight. You might lose a few Wookiee soldiers or a couple of friendly stormtroopers or rebel commanders or whatever. You go get more dudes. You rest. You go back, you fight some more, and eventually you take a planet. It's very rarely you just take it all out.
Yeah, those are always hard.
So I managed to capture back like 4 or 5 planets for the Republic, and I was like, all right, I got to stop for a while.
Yeah, this is going to be...
Because I was putting in time, serious time.
Can you make your own faction?
Yes, there's an independent faction. So the three factions are... the Rebel Alliance, the Galactic Republic, and the Hutt Cartel. And then you can start as an independent if you want. Yeah. Oh, there's one other thing that's really cool. Whoever made the mod created shipyards. So you start out with whatever your ship is. So if you start as independent like I did, you have this slow, kind of crappy cargo freighter. If you start as Rebels, you get an A-Wing. Start as Empire, I think you get a TIE Fighter. Hutt Cartel, you get some weird ship. But you can go to a shipyard, and if you have the money, you can buy a different ship. Mm-hmm. And you can buy anything from, like, a YT-1300 light freighter to, like, a Imperial Star Destroyer Mark II.
That sounds cooler than in Mount and Blade, where you just buy a different horse.
A different colored horse,
yeah,
right?
And he'd just be better.
But not only that, you can upgrade your ship.
I bought a brown horse.
And the upgrades depend on what ship you get. So I bought the wild card from the Thrawn trilogy, from the Timothy Zahn books.
I know what you're talking about. I bought
Talon Card's ship, and I upgraded it so it can hold a bunch more prisoners, and it has really good medical facilities and stuff. So I just trot around the galaxy in my wild card with my 200 dudes and just lay waste. I gained so much renown invading Coruscant because they had 700 dudes in their army. I had 200. But I found this way to go down on my speeder bike and gank tons of them with my lightsaber without getting killed. So I would just, and when I started getting too hurt, I would retreat for a while, then come back. So yeah, it's really fun. Whoever made that is a genius, and there are only some bugs.
Yeah.
Now the bugs that do occur do really fuck you over, though. Like one was I was in an arena fight and suddenly I fell through the floor, and everybody was 200 feet above me, and I couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, Mountain Blade was always one of those games that I feel like is, like, one of the best games I've ever played. If these guys had, like, maybe double the budget, it'd probably be, like...
less janky.
So one of the... I mean,
all right,
it'd be
I'm gonna
so
hit this
great.
Guy with my pole arm. Ha!
Yeah, I just feel like if, like, those guys just had any bit of money, it's amazing that they can do what they do, and then all this modder can, or whoever, which modders made this. But, like, yeah, if anybody just threw some money at these people, like, dude, it just makes, like, such an amazing game.
Yeah, I really enjoy Mountain Blade. Star Wars Conquest is real good. Let's see. I know I played something else. WWE Supercard. Well, I know I did, but I can't think of it.
Must not have been that memorable then.
I wish you could play that King of Fighters MOBA, because I would like
yeah,
to.
Yeah, so would I. Oh, I played more Dynasty Warriors a little bit. And I reinstalled Lord of the Rings War in the North.
The RTS?
No, that was the
it's
RPG
a,
style.
It's over-the-shoulder action RPG.
Mm, okay.
It's actually really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard good stuff about that one.
Yeah, it's pretty decent, and you can get very cheap on Amazon.
I want Shadow over Mordor.
I got the disc for War in the North for, I think it was $1.99. So, all it does is give you a Steam code, so... It's totally worth it, though. I enjoyed that game immensely. I played through it three times, once with each character.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I think that's about all the gaming I did.
Okay.
I did a ton of pencil and paper role-playing over the last month. A ton. D&D, the new edition.
It's pretty good.
It's good. I think it's my favorite one so far. It's got a lot of my favorite parts from every edition in it.
It's pretty good.
It's got a very good balance between customization and streamlining.
Mm-hmm. The battles move quick, which is...
The biggest thing,
yeah,
I think.
That's a big thing.
That's a big thing, but also I appreciate that the math has been fixed.
Yeah.
So the numbers don't get to these ridiculous levels where you're constantly trying to figure this out or that out. It's all pretty simple. It's proficiency bonus plus whatever equals whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're not constantly getting new numbers every level.
Right, and using that same value, I think, makes it flow real good. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
All right, guys. Was there any news this week? Because if there was no news, I couldn't think of anything particular.
There's a little bit.
All right, let's power through that and get the hell out of here. Because we're at an hour and 42 minutes right now.
Okay, so on one hand...
Something's happening in Missouri, but it could be anything.
We're talking about gaming news.
So,
I'm sure a game will come out about it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But, okay, if we're going in that direction, okay, here's some news.
No.
Google was smart enough to pull from the Play Store, Bomb Gaza.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh.
That's fucked.
It was bad.
So...
What about... Didn't Phil Fish do some stuff this week?
Well, there's a couple of... stories related to that, yeah. Phil Fish absolutely confirmed Fez 2 is never going to be developed.
In fact, he said, hey, reasonable offer, you could buy the Fez property and Polytron, I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Good. Maybe somebody will make Fez 2 then.
Although where that all started was really fucked up.
Well, yes.
The Zoe Quinn stuff.
Yeah. The less said about that, the
I don't know if I really want to go.
Yeah,
it's fucked in like,
yeah.
Hey, treat people better and
internet. Don't be 4chan.
Yeah,
don't be 4chan.
I mean, there's nothing really to say about it other than like people are really, really terrible, and it makes me like hope that
4chan burns.
Well, hope
in
that
hell.
Like I mean, you know, we do this stuff, and then we try to do some live stream stuff and all these things. And, like, we would wish to get more popular because that would be cool. Like, we would have people who actually like the stuff that we do, and we put a lot of time into this. Mm-hmm. But seeing that stuff also makes me very concerned about, like, man, I hope that we actually never get to a point where people actually like
our
stuff.
Hack our Skype accounts.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
Hack other people's accounts.
It's terrible. It's just, like, it's personal history and all this stuff.
Okay, I have one good piece of news that will make everybody happy. I watched Two Fish play Street Fighter for 3 days at work. And that was amazing.
It's probably better than one fish playing Pokemon.
No, it was a fish named Aquarius versus a fish named Robert the Bruce. And I believe on the third day, they got Aquarius actually got acquired a corporate sponsor.
How do they do that? They just put a grid on the fish tank, and then, okay.
I am an Aquarius man. I'm not ashamed to say, and I was rooting for Aquarius the entire way. It was amazing how people were like putting stakes. Like, people were just like screaming and shouting, and like, this is so tense. I don't know what's going to happen. And were people are just spamming the chat, Robert the Bruce.
Oh, I love the chats for any of these fish play games.
There is one God, and his name is Robert.
I love that that's still constantly evolving past what, you know, the Pokemon thing. Like, I love that it's now a fish thing. Like, who knows where it's going to go? I like it.
What I like best.
Eventually, it'll be a monkey play through Final Fantasy.
What I like best is the effect it had on me, because at first I was like, what the hell is this? And like an hour into it, I'm like, that aqua! exclamation point times 10, you know? Aqua life!
Aqua for life.
All of a sudden, you get really caught up in these.
It's really fun. I was just like, bullshit! I'm just screaming, bullshit! How can you give Robert E. Honda and Aqua Guile, you're nerfing him. He's got no range. Man, I'm just screaming.
A bit of context. Dan's been fairly lonely at work the past couple of weeks.
A little bit, but more it's just because I've been really stressed. I really need something to put a smile on my face.
Fishy's playing Street Fighter.
Yeah.
That's all good.
And it also is Fishy's playing Street Fighter live.
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
If one of them pulls off a Hadouken, the internet will
explode. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. Is that even possible?
No.
It seems impossible.
It's impossible because the fish would have to swim really fast from here to here and then somehow also hit this punch button at the same time.
Maybe it's just two fish.
Yep, two fish
in one.
Well, that's what one guy was saying, is that they should have two teams of fish. Two teams of two or three fish.
Yeah, and then you have two thumbs.
And then put the sensors on each one and then...
Yes.
Yes.
It's amazing that somebody thought of that. Like, I would never have thought of doing that in a billion.
I hope that guy somehow makes like $20 million.
Yeah, I hope he works for like fucking NASA or something.
Because that chat channel, by the way, is always crowded, 24/7. I was watching it at 3 a.m. and we were like, "Yes, Aqua, bro."
I can't even read the comments.
Yeah, I love that. There's so much chat that like you're just screaming into the ether. You're just like, "Fuck."
Anything else in the news?
Therapeutic,
Kevin.
It's therapeutic.
I think Helmick just had like a...
Oh, he is a rare Roman Reigns.
So, kind of, I got an email.
Okay.
So, remember I complained to Twitch when they blocked Corgi Simulator?
Yeah.
And they wanted me to fill out a legal paper talking about a content provider, copyright agent.
We did discuss this, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I wrote them back and said, what the fuck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. So I wrote them on the 12th. On the 22nd, they're real quick. They sent an email. Thanks again for your patience while we review the content that has been muted in light of many VODs being removed from our video system August 27th. We want to ensure that all are still able to continue processing the videos for which you have submitted an appeal.
That didn't mean anything.
Then they're like...
We're working on it.
Yeah, maybe. And they said, we continue work on a better appeals process. You should have done that before you put it in place.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And would like to apologize for the delay in your appeal. Then they gave me a case ID number.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you should probably make a highlight of that video before it's deleted. Because we're going really fucking slow.
Okay, yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah. Twitch.
Good update.
The legal system, it works.
It's not the legal system.
At least it's better than
it's
that.
Twitch legal system.
Twitch legal
At system. Least it's better than that first email where that form, you saw.
Oh, yeah.
That thing looked like it was programmed on GeoCities in the mid 90s.
Angel Fire. Oh, man. Just a quick note about internet, like old internet. So that, I told you I was watching that World War III pay-per-view on the WWE Network, Dan.
Oh, yes.
At one point they mentioned, you can go on the internet on CompuServe.
Nice.
And talk in a live chat.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
That's way beyond this time.
You could do
that. Was it 1995?
Yeah, 95.
CompuServe. What was I doing on the internet in 1995?
I was on AOL.
I was on Well, I was just on a local provider.
I did a lot of Usenet.
I went on EGM's website a lot called nuke.com, mm-hmm. and I was very prevalent in their chat room. I had email pals that we would
CompuServe.
I never actually used CompuServe.
Oh, remember back then the unofficial Squaresoft website?
No.
It had, like, everything. It was pretty much one of the first, like, comprehensive, like, GameFAQs type of thing, but only for Squaresoft games. Before GameFAQs really was a thing, it had, like, walkthroughs, pictures, everything for every Square game, including it. That's how I learned about Xenogears.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Because they're like, yeah, Xenogears, we're not getting it. And then people complain. And then Square shut them down because they were the unofficial Squaresoft website.
I had a GoldenEye GeoCities webpage.
I had a GeoCities.
Wow. Learned so much about you today.
Tips and trips.
Trips and...
Fuck.
Trips and ticks.
I haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
You had ticks and trips. And you tripped?
PAX is going to be coming up soon.
PAX is next week. Woo! Yay, Dan and I will be there.
I'm gonna meet up with my Dota friend.
All right.
Who's also working on Evolve. So maybe we can do something with him while we're there. Or we'll just talk about Dota.
What's this thing you're talking about?
PAX next week. Yeah, you know, that thing that happens every year in Seattle that you're mildly apathetic towards.
I went last year.
Yeah.
I think the pain of my back last year has given me a negative reinforcement towards PAX.
You didn't have the best of PAX.
It was not a great experience.
Yeah. I loved in the beginning of the weekend, you were filled with such hope and joy. You were like, well, I'm just going to work a little bit and then I'll meet up with you guys like afterwards and it'll be great, right? And it's like, yeah, totally fine. We'll get drinks and everything. And then like every time we check in with you, you just looked more haggard. And like throughout the weekend, it was just like, ugh.
Nobody would trade spots with him for the floor.
And then we'd be like, hey, we're at this thing. You want to meet? It's like, I'm just going to the room.
Well, it was a potent combination of showing off games to a bunch of mouth-breathing assholes who wouldn't buy any of them,
mm-hmm.
and getting really probably the worst sleep in my life.
Yeah.
Or at least in recent memory. Because I was just lying there on those couch cushions in my sleeping bag going, somebody kill me.
Oh, boy.
All right, gaming goals.
PAX.
You somehow aged over PAX, like, your face aged about 3 years.
At least I didn't have Bell's palsy at the end of it, but I felt like it. I know a guy at work got Bell's palsy. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Just all of a sudden he came into work, and this half of his face was just as beautiful as ever, and this side was just... And he starts talking, and this side of his mouth is moving, and the other one's not, and he's like... Hey, everybody, I'm suffering Paul right now. And I was like, great, dude. I don't have to look at you right now, right? Good.
There's that BBC reporter who got it.
Ugh.
And he's like, I thought my career was done. And, like, he documented his recovery. And he's like, everything works, but this eye is still tilted down.
Yeah, the guy who got it at work, he still looks kind of grim because he can only smile on half his face.
Oh.
It's the only thing. You can't smile on both sides, so when he likes something, he looks like he's leering at you. He goes like, hey, did you check this? Oh, that's really funny.
Gaming goals helmet for the week.
I'm going to learn how to leer correctly. That's my gaming goal. Also, okay. I think I'm going to make a dwarven dual-wielding fighter, Elvish Knight. Plus, probably play some Diablo 3.
Okay.
With you.
El Diablo! El Diablo!
And, of course, your supercard obsession continues.
And Mercenary Kings. Actually, the one thing about that supercard game is it kills your battery so fast.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I have this giant brick.
Yeah. I
could feel it emanating
when I'm playing.
It gets all hot.
When I'm playing a lot of WWE supercard, I seriously have to charge my phone like 4 times a day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I felt like I was like going to break my phone because it was just getting so warm.
Mine gets warm when I play too much Marvel Puzzle.
Yeah.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Is that
game that wronged me?
I'm going to play some Arc Age this weekend.
Okay.
Because the beta runs until Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just see where it happens.
Look at that freshly vacuumed carpet. Oh, lovely.
All right, Kevin.
I need to find a new game for Infinite Depths. I'm not sure what yet, but I'm thinking there's a chance it could be what I was thinking of playing for Indie Showcase. Rex Rocket.
Okay.
Rex Rocket.
All right.
It's an indie game. They had a quick look of it on Giant Bomb.
I saw Rex Rocket. It looks cool.
It looks a lot like a Mega Man type of thing.
I don't think anyone gets as excited about indie games as you.
Because I'm right.
I like good indie games.
I'm just...
I didn't say that you didn't like him. I didn't say I didn't like him. I said I think he's the one who gets most excited.
Well, he has to get excited.
Now, what Dan likes to get excited about is pre-alpha first-person survival shooters.
Yeah.
And Korean MMOs.
Okay, Google. Protect me. Make my friends nice to me, Siri.
I'm going to play more Diablo 3 this week. That's all I'm going to put down. And maybe some Xenogears when I feel like it.
Diablo.
We got to watch some of The Simpsons we recorded.
And I'll keep watching The Quest.
Yeah, did you guys watch the baseball one already?
No.
Yeah, no, we got to watch that. One. And then we got to play some Diablo.
I loved Hardball Talk. Their website had like one of the entries was, by way, in a half hour is when the Homer
it's
baseball
literally
won.
One of the best things
Yeah. The comment section
was ones last night.
The comment section was essentially the script of that episode, broken up into everyone's favorite quotes, covering pretty much the whole episode.
I'm only sad because I forgot to record the one where Homer becomes stops going to church.
Oh,
that's a good one because of football.
Yes, but my favorite part is when Flanders pulls him out and he's like, Flanders, you saved me. You do for the same for me. And the vision of Homer laughing.
Homer saved me!
He's on the hammock. That's right, old friend.
I like his patented space age moon waffles.
Moon waffles. Liquid smoke.
Pack of caramels. And a stick of butter.
All right.
I also want to see the monkey's paw up. All right, okay, let's go.
We're done. That's long gone.
We could just quote Simpson shit all day.
Oh, we gotta get the one with Mojo. Pray for Mojo.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week at PAX for episode 100.
Mojo, do your happy
Or
dance.
We'll call it 99.5.
Nope, 100.
No, I relented.
You did?
Yeah.
100.
That's fine.
We'll celebrate on 101.
Woo! Yay!